Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. And it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is...
You're listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. Call in to live News for the Soul shows daily for intuitive coaching, readings, numerology, leading-edge health information, and much, much more with featured hosts from around the world. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
It's time for Enlightenment in the City with El Hoshotara on the News for the Soul Network. El is a spiritual coach and intuitive reader with a unique flair. Strong yet soft, compassionate with a heart, she lives the consciousness of being feminine with strength. El tells it like it is. Welcome El Hoshotara back to News for the Soul.
Hi, everybody. My name is El Hoshotara. I am your host for this hour here on newsforthesoul.com, News for the Soul Radio. You can go find us at newsforthesoul.com. And we are going to talk about, for the first time ever, we've had a repeat on the subject for the show. So for the show heading, which is bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Because codependency is full of bad boys and bad women. I know if you're a woman, you're like, hey, wait a minute. And like, seriously, you all know this because you've all tried to make friends with some woman who just put you through the freaking ringer, and you know you can't be friends with her, and you can't figure out why because you tried, and it's like, I don't understand women, even though I am a woman. How does this work? You know, are women so vastly complicated? Like, you know, some of the guys say, especially, you know, you've got amazing high skill set guys, and you've got the low skill set guys, and the ones that are lower skill set don't understand women. You know, is it like, shit, are they accurate? Are they right? And, well, yes and no. Basically, the more complex, there's a difference between complex and which can be higher skill set because you've got a different way of looking at things. You know how to make things happen. Maybe people don't understand it. So, you know, if you're talking to a low skill set person, they're like, well, they're full of shit because it doesn't work that way. Nope. 2 + 4 is 100 bazillion gajillion. That's it. And they're not budging. You know, and you see that a lot with medical issues, unfortunately. You see that a lot with readings. You know, I had somebody tear me a letter, sent me a tearing letter, you know, a few years back because it's like I was a few months off on something and it's like, you know, there's free will here, right? So if you don't actually go apply for the job, you're not going to get the job. If you blow it in the interview because there's free will. You know, but sometimes people don't understand that. So it's like, you know, they didn't get the job and the job came in 3 months later. And it's like, well, why did that happen? You know, and it's like, because you were nice in the interview 3 months later. And if you acted like this in the interview, that would probably explain why you didn't get the job. People don't tend to like people who are nightmares. It kind of works that way. It's the most amazing thing. But of course, when people are acting out a lot, they don't tend to understand, sometimes, not all the times, but sometimes they don't understand the impact that it has on other people. And so, and that's part of the reason why we get like that bad boys from, or bad girls. It's not because like, you know, men or women are inherently bad or evil, even though if you're one gender or the other and you've had problems with one gender or the other, you can honestly think that. But it depends on who you're dealing with, whether how high skill set they are or not, how codependent they are. And this isn't about like how much you do or don't know all the time. You know, and to be clear about this, because, you know, I don't care how high or how low somebody is, there's always going to be something you've never heard of. You know, sometimes you get people who really don't know much who are like, nope, they know everything. And, you know, it's like, you read this, right? Like, you read this in all these magazines about, like, you need to have self-confidence. It shows that you're a good person or you're going to get the job because you're confident. Yep, that's the way it should work. Well, here's the thing. it's actually a higher skill set to be open to new information. Now, this is not like be open to new information where you're dealing with somebody who is trying to hand you a load and they're obviously lying their fucking faces off. They obviously does not work that way. And they're like, yep, it works that way. Just because they've decided that it wants to so they can be right. It's not like, oh, you have to be open to new information and put up with a lot of bullshit. That's more the codependent version of being open to new information. But higher skill set people, basically what happens is they know that there's something else, and by something else, I mean higher information than what they currently know. And they're open to that because they understand that there's always going to be the next improvement that can be made. And the higher skill set they are, they're open to, again, the good information, not what getting your head bashed in by a codependent, the good information, they're open to the good information because they understand that's going to take them higher. Now, in codependency, sometimes people think, well, you know, showing that they're confident, quote unquote, and that they think they know what they're doing, even when they don't, is going to show that they, you know, have brain cells and they have a high skill set, and it actually doesn't. And how do you know that? Because you've all seen somebody else at some point, they've bugged the heck out of you, and you know, if they just did A, B, C, D, E differently, it's not hard in some cases. You're just making a simple request. And, you know, like, hey, guess what? It's a coworker's working space. You know, put stuff back after you're done. And, you know, if everybody did that, you know, the meeting room would be neater. And they can't get the concept of putting the tea back. And they can't understand why everybody's mad at them, even though they leave their trash everywhere while everybody else is doing their work, you know, and cleaning up. So you're constantly cleaning up after that person. And they don't understand it. They don't think it should be a big deal. They're always leaving a mess for somebody else. And because nobody else likes to sit there and eat their lunch in somebody else's fucking crumbs, because that's kind of disgusting, you know, but they don't get it. And we understand this, you know, where they're like, well, they're going to show their confidence and they don't need to do that. Well, it's not going to really work because, quite frankly, you know, grab the freaking cloth and wipe off your space. Somebody's got to eat lunch there next, or put the tea back, because no, actually it's not fun when you've got a 15-minute break to have to sit there and hunt around the whole lunchroom to find out where the tea box has gone. You know, whatever it looks like for you, you've all had that moment where it's like if people just got off their asses and cooperated and did the things that they're supposed to be doing. Because look, it says the sign on the wall, it says, you know, please replace whatever you use. You're welcome to use it. We're happy to support you. We're happy to provide tea because tea is beautiful. We love tea. We understand you love tea too. Please just put the box back in the proper place when you're done with it. And there's always somebody who doesn't do it. So, and when people don't do these things, I'm trying to act, you know, confident. It doesn't work because it's like, this doesn't make sense. It's got nothing to do with whether it's confident or not. It's just like, put the tea back. And in fact, if you actually want to build confidence in somebody, the easiest way to build confidence in that moment would actually be to be participatory and put the tea back. Like, it's not hard. So even though that will not build, you know, putting the tea back once will not build great ranges of self-esteem and confidence, not doing a lot of those things over a consistent period of time, and people who are at that level tend to underestimate how much they're not participating in life. People who don't participate over a long time will actually have lower self-esteem, and people who do participate over time can actually find an increase in self-esteem because it's doing the right thing that helps to build your self-esteem. And part of doing the right thing is knowing, you know, what is our job to do? What are the things that we're supposed to be doing? And so, you know, when it's that, or when it's something else, again, you know, like people who think that, you know, and I'm going to like grossly exaggerate this because obviously, you know, everybody's got their own different version of it. But you see in some people, you just see that absolute lack of wisdom where it's like, oh, 2 + 2 = 100 gajillion, and they're just going to stick to it no matter what, because you have to have confidence in the decisions you make and you have to have confidence in your knowledge. Not so much if it's the wrong knowledge. No. And that doesn't build confidence. Why? Because it's hard to have confidence if you're sitting there and everybody's like, you know, got their jaw dropped going, oh my God, seriously? Oh, wow. You really think that? Okay. So that doesn't really build confidence. And what happens is, you know, when people do these, well, be polite and say silly little things that they do, what happens is not only does it like tank self-esteem, but then people start getting like really off reactions and they don't know why they're getting those reactions. You know, people walk away because, you know, having a fight with somebody who honestly thinks 2 + 2 = 100 bazillion gajillion, you're not really going to be able to get any more knowledge in there. And it's not because a person is inherently, you know, dumb as two bricks. It's just that they're making the decision in the moment that that's how they're going to act and they're not learning. So they may not know how to act that's going to be more beneficial. And if that's the way they handle things, you know, anytime you put something that's the least bit healthy in them, they're going to argue it into the fucking ground. And that, and you know, and then they're trying to be confident over that. And, you know, sometimes confidence can be a little misplaced. So, you know, confidence is, you know, I actually am doing the right thing. Well, I put the tea back in somebody's leg. You don't have to do that. Somebody will clean it up for you. And it's like, well, we all have to participate in it. Otherwise, the room's going to get run over with everybody's garbage really, really quickly. You know, we're responsible human beings. We can put the tea back. And, you know, for somebody who's really irresponsible, oh, they're going to be mad that you said that. Oh, how dare you say that? Oh, you know, and then they're going to like stomp around and glare at you for the rest of the day because you suggested that you could be a responsible person who puts their tea back, you know, and all the horrors. And then this is when, you know, we start to see like, quote unquote, bad people is they're not participating. That doesn't necessarily mean a bad person in and of itself, because, you know, there's things that you're not going to clue in to do. You know, that goes for you, that goes for everybody else. Or there's, you know, maybe there was an unspoken expectation that one person had and they didn't say it. And you're not going to know what that is because they didn't talk about it. So it's not like you're going to be able to read everybody's mind to be perfect in every moment. You're not going to be able to do that. Nobody else is going to be able to do that either. But what happens, though, is when we start dealing with, quote unquote, people we think are bad, we start dealing with when people get really reactive and they don't know something. And instead of like opening up and saying like, oh, I don't know, or that's a good idea, or, you know, oh shit, yeah, I did make a mistake, sorry, this is what I'm going to do instead. Or, you know, like, oh, I did, yeah, I never thought of it that way. Actually, that does make sense. And, you know, they'll look at implementing if that's right for them or not. Doing, you know, instead of doing all that beautiful stuff, they just hunker down and then they start yelling and then they start abusing and, you know, and they didn't even tell you that they wanted mangoes on their salad. And then the next thing you know, like they're freaking out and yelling because you didn't put the mangoes in the salad and mangoes are delicious. And it's like, well, we don't even have mangoes and you didn't say you wanted mangoes. And well, usually we don't eat mangoes in our salad, you know, and then the person's going and screaming and, you know, and then you get all the drama and then that's what causes like all the pain and suffering. So, and in codependency, you know, people think like, oh my God, I'm never allowed to make a mistake. It's not that you're never allowed to make a mistake, but it is very much about how you handled it when you made a mistake. And, you know, and what kind of mistakes are there? Or, you know, are mistakes being made because, you know, somebody's been told repeatedly that they're actually violating the boundary and they're not listening? Well, obviously they're going to end up in more trouble with that. And, you know, and again, it depends, and I've said this in the past, it depends on who you're dealing with, whether they're high skill set or low skill set. Low skill set people, anything you do is somehow violating a boundary, whether they just, you know, in some cases they haven't told you what the boundary is. In some cases it's really not going to be reasonable, you know, like, you know, they don't like mangoes, so therefore you're not allowed to have mangoes. You know, you're going grocery shopping or something, you run into somebody, you know, you like mangoes, you go to grab a mango, they don't like mangoes, their boundary is they decided you can't eat mangoes. No. You know, and so when people don't know how to use boundaries, but they think like, hey, boundaries are good, you're supposed to use them, they'll kind of throw up like these random things and they call them boundaries because they think they're supposed to have them, but they don't actually know how to use them. And so those sorts of things, when that happens, you know, that's when you're getting, you know, people telling you can't do things that don't even make sense not to do. They're getting mad at you over things that they haven't told you, or even a boundary violation for them. Or a boundary violation for them, supposedly, and it's not even a boundary violation for them, but it was boundary violation for somebody else, but they don't have the same problem. So it's not a boundary violation for them, but they're like acting like you somehow triggered a massive boundary violation, even though it's not actually a boundary violation for them. So for example, you know, like let's say two best friends, one had a very severe peanut allergy. And so if you go to her house, you cannot have had butter that day at all. You cannot have had any nuts. You have to wash your hands before you go over. you can't eat nuts in the car. You know, you take the trace over from, you know, you eat in the car. You haven't washed your hands, and some people are this sensitive. Like, you can get really hardcore anaphylactic with allergies. And if you don't have them, you don't know it could get that bad. But if you do have them, you know, it could get that bad. So, you know, like, for somebody who's that anaphylactic, it's like you can't come over unless you've washed your hands. And you have to have, like, you know, wiped down your steering wheel and not have had peanuts that day, like, at all. Because it can be, like, that detrimental and send people to the hospital. Now, you know, if somebody's doing that and it's like, you know, oh, you want to come over and you're going to bring your favorite peanut butter cookies for dessert, well, I appreciate that, but you can't do it. And let's say her name is Anna. And it's like, okay, so, you know, Anna's got the allergy. And Anna says politely, like, please don't bring the cookies over. And you show up anyways. You know, you forgot. You're not used to thinking of allergies in this way. You're like, look, I brought you peanut butter cookies. And Anna's like, I'm sorry, but you can't bring those in the house. And, you know, I understand that, you know, we had an appointment to have dinner, but because you baked these cookies today, you know, it's probably in your clothes, you know, it's probably on your skin a little bit more than you think. I'm sorry, but I can't let you in the house today. It's too detrimental to the health of, like, Anna. And again, you know, I know for some people, if you're not, you don't have allergies, it could seem a little extreme, but, you know, you have a little bit of peanut butter in the hair that can make people not be able to breathe and they won't know why. You know, you're sitting there, you're leaning back in their chair before they clue in. You know, that little bit of peanut butter, if that doesn't get cleaned out of the chair, it can actually be quite detrimental to them. And I know, again, it sounds strange, but, you know, for somebody who's got those levels of allergies, that means they're going to have to clean the whole house until they figure out what the problem is, or their partner who's not that allergic is going to have to clean the whole house until they find out what the problem is. So it becomes like a lot of work. It's not just something silly. It actually becomes a lot of work for somebody if their boundaries regarding allergies are not respected. Now, if, say, her best friend is Red, and Red doesn't know how to use boundaries properly, Red's going to say, well, you can't eat a peanut butter sandwich in front of her. And it's like, why? You're not allowed to eat nuts. It's not fair. Like, well, okay, but we're at work. There's no safeguards in place about not eating, you know, peanut butter sandwiches, because nobody here has allergies to that degree to peanut butter. So we actually don't have those, you know, those guidelines about not eating peanuts here. And Red's like, no, you can't eat it. There are people suffering in the world. Oh! And it's like, yeah, but they're not in here. They don't work here. And if they did work here, then we'd have to change the guidelines. At least that's how it works here in North America and a lot of places. So then you'd have to change the guidelines. But it doesn't work that way here. And, you know, when people get really silly because they're trying to hold a boundary, but they don't know how to use them, it becomes like, well, not only you're not allowed to eat the sandwich, because somebody has an allergy to it, you're not allowed to eat it in a lunch break, but you should respect all people who have allergies, and you should not even eat that stuff at home. And it's like, no. And it's like, yeah, pet, you know, and Red's going on, ban the peanut butter industry. You know, and it's like, well, that actually makes a lot of money, and it actually has a lot of people have jobs. And it's not the problem that, you know, some foods are allergenic or not. It's that we have to figure out, like, why some people have allergies. And that's what needs to be caught. And that's what needs to happen. We need to get those things resolved. And why do you need to do that? Well, because people don't have anaphylactic reactions just off of nuts. They can actually have them off potatoes. They can have them off carrots. They can have it off milk. You never know. And as these things, you know, start to build up, we start to get these weird reactions that, like, you know, seem strange to other people because sometimes of, like, what's actually been built up in the body. So we need to know how to, like, cleanse those things out. And sometimes it can take a long time. So, you know, down in our food supply, we have to get the chemicals down in our home in terms of cleaning products. Otherwise, these things are going to keep climbing. And these allergies are going to keep climbing. But when people don't understand that, it's like, well, if you cut out every single food, we're already talking about dairy, nuts, potatoes and carrots. Worldwide, nobody should eat them ever because somebody's got something wrong with their system that they need to go see a doctor about and do the work to clear it out. And a conventional doctor, again, may not have the results. I've said this or have the solutions, and I've said this in the past, so they need to do things like, you know, go to a naturopath instead. But when people don't know this, you know, it's like you're talking about really worldwide, you know, going into panic and shutting everything down. And, of course, there's always the next thing that people are going to be allergic to. Some people get very sick off eggs. Well, you know, like, ban all eggs just in case somebody comes to your house and they don't tell you. And, you know, and you could pretty much go through all the food. You know, you lose pork because of religious reasons. You lose beef because of religious reasons. You lose fish because of the mercury. So then you're left with poultry. But if you eat anything of anything too much and they're building up the toxins in the body, which will happen with chicken, you'll get sick and tired of chicken. Your body will start having a little bit of a, ooh, you know, you're getting a little bit of a negative reaction to eating chicken because you've eaten too much chicken. And you know, it's like, well, then you go vegetarian. Well, if you eat too much of anything, especially if it's got the chemicals in it, you're eventually going to develop an allergy to that. You know, oranges, the same thing happens with oranges. The same thing happens with bananas. And it's not that like all these things magically, you know, you can keep taking them out, because if the problem is not solved, which is actually taking the chemicals out, it doesn't help to take out all these foods, even though you may need to keep certain people away from them. And, you know, the more sort of silly people go with this and codependency, the more it starts to like take over either their life and your life if you let it. And you're constantly getting yelled at, you know, ridiculous expectations start to be piled upon you. You can't defend against them. Oh, because then they're, you know, if you're dealing with enough codependency with enough people, then you put down a healthy boundary and everybody thinks you're mean or bad. And it's like, you know, no, because a bunch of them get together, all food must go. And it's like, well, unless you figured out how to like, you know, vibrate yourself above the level. Yeah. Everybody should know how to do that. They should learn how to vibrate themselves out of needing to eat. Great. Be the first one. Until then, billions of people are going to die because you need food unless you know how to do that shit. So it doesn't really work. But of course, the more panicked people get and the more that they go into panic and the more that they go into unreasonability, nothing ever works. And you can have this conversation with people, and I mean, you could just like go right down the pike. It's like, where things will just keep getting worse and worse and worse, and they'll just, you know, try to dramatize, you know, fear mongering over and over and over again about things that actually just don't even make sense or not going to be feasible or not feasible for a long time. And, you know, that's when we start to get into these ideas of, you know, like, what is a bad person? Well, that person doesn't think they're bad, but it becomes very stressful to deal with somebody else. And who do we usually consider bad people? Well, they're constantly attacking. You know, you're not looking at, and it's not like, you know, you're always going to agree with somebody else. And again, you can get somebody very codependent. It's like, they didn't agree with me. They're bad people. You know, it's like, no, actually, a lot of people think oranges are delicious. Calm down, Red. you know, there's always going to be somebody like that, but it's like, the more that that stuff happens and the more that somebody does that stuff, that's usually what they consider to be bad people. And the people that are doing it are like, hey, that's not fair. But those will be the same people that complain about everybody else being jerks and assholes, because when people are that out of control, when they're that lashing out, when they're that codependent, when they're not, and there's different levels of codependency. I want to be clear. You can find absolutely beautiful people in codependency. You know, one of my favorite callers has said, you know, she's got codependency issues, and I adore that woman. I want to be clear. And you've heard that a number of times on the radio. Annie has my heart. And so they're very beautiful people in that. And then there's the ones that are going to be like absolute freaking nightmares for you. And so when we're dealing with the people who are like the absolute freaking nightmares, you know, this is what we start to look at as like bad people. You're always going to be yelled at. You're always going to be attacked. They're always going to be pulling the shit on you because they don't want to look at it. And when this stuff gets out of control, you know, this is how we get abuse. This is how, like, you didn't do the dishes, so they deserve to be able to punch you in the head. Or you said no, and, you know, he decides he wants you. And then this is how you get things like, you know, guys turning into women or, you know, or thinking that they're entitled to rape or, you know, they went out on a date once. So therefore, you know, you've got some bonehead who thinks he's entitled to have sex with her, whether she wants sex or not. And it's like, no, it doesn't work that way. You know, if you want sex for a guarantee, you know, you put out a little bit of money, you want a guaranteed payout of sex, you go, you know, downtown and you hire a $5 hooker. You know, it's not like, oh, look, you pay a certain amount of money, you know, you're having a date with a woman and magically, you know, that guy feels like he's entitled to whatever. And it's like, no, it doesn't work that way. Whether it's like, hey, they're a rock star, they think they're magically entitled, you know, to rape you. No. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way with comedians. It doesn't work that way with rock stars. It doesn't work that way with anybody. you know, and this is like all formats. This includes, you know, there are women who think that, you know, they're magically entitled to clean out a guy's bank account because they have boobies. No, really not. you know, it works all the way around every which way that you could possibly imagine. But again, the more codependency there is, the more people will lash out and think that they should be allowed to. And this is what, again, causes all the problems. And the thing is, like, it doesn't just cause the problems for those people. It causes people a lot of problems for people around them. And I've said in past shows, you know, this is, you know, one of the biggest issues when you're trying to teach people to come out of their problems is having them understand, like, how much of a difference doing their work will make. But they don't want to. They want to blame. They want to get back at people. You know, and it's like, okay, but depending on what it is about, you know, it's that, like, that revenge. Well, bitch said no, he's going to get back at her. Well, you can kind of see somebody walking up with that kind of vengeful nature, and that's exactly why she would have said no in the first place, unless she's got severe codependency issues about thinking she needs to take abuse. She's going to run around like hell and be like, oh, fuck no, and she's going to know better than to get involved with that guy. And that sort of thing, like, never goes away. So there has to be a reasonability, and we've gone over this in past shows as well, that the people who blame other people the most will always have the hardest lives, and the people who have the easiest, best lives are the ones who take responsibility for themselves. They make the changes. They do the work. They're honest about their shortcomings, and they make the changes. They understand. They look at, what did I add into the situation? And they make those appropriate changes. And the more that people, you know, live life from that perspective, and all that is covered under your good self-development, quite frankly, or a lot of it anyways, covered under your self-development, you know, if it's very hard to let go of the hatred and the anger, then somatic therapy helps with that. And then after that, you hit your self-development, or you do your self-development while you're doing your somatic therapy. That works too. But you're going to need the somatic therapy in there. If there's, you know, tons of moping, somatic therapy, you know, the naturopath. If there's tons of guilt tripping, naturopath, you know, somatic therapist. And all these sorts of things can get resolved, provided that people can go and do the work. But sometimes people get so hell-bent on trying to make other people pay, regardless of what they've done. You know, like, if Red's going to try and get vengeance on anyone who has ever eaten a peanut butter sandwich, well, they get shunned, and they get shunned very, very quickly in society. And then they don't have people to rely on because it's too toxic to be around them, because you're constantly getting yelled at or abused, you know, and worse than just emotional abuse, sometimes based on the fact that they don't ever want to look at what their issues are. So it's not, you know, I know for some people it seems like it's this big magical secret about why life doesn't work. But the more that we put effort into it and actually taking responsibility for our lives, the more those things become clear. And as we do the things that we're supposed to be doing, which is not the same thing as what you're going to be, quote unquote, supposed to be doing in codependency, which is take all the bullshit and love them anyway. Take all the bullshit. Take it out. Love them anyways. Oh my God. Treat them like they're the God and Goddess that they truly are in their divine heart. Oh, you're bad. You know, it's like, it's not going to work like that. Even though people who are codependent in those formats really wish it was, it's not actually going to work that way. So, you know, building the skill sets of, like, okay, yes, I have to give, but, you know, what is going to be reasonable for me to give here? You know, if I give here, is it going to screw me over? That's not really reasonable for me to give then. And the more that we understand these sorts of things, the more that we can come into balance and life becomes beautiful. But we only get that the more responsible we are in life and the more that we actually do our work and stop blaming other people. And again, the people that understand that the best thrive, the people who have the hardest concept of time with that, and they're like, nope, 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 they're not going to fucking listen to that. They're going to have the hardest life. Always going to be that way. Never going to change. You just get people who are going to fight about it. You don't know it's going to be that way. Yeah, actually, you do. Not rocket science to figure that out. You know, somebody eats an orange, you don't like oranges, and you're, you know, thinking you get to punch them in the head. Yep, that's going to have people avoid you. That's going to be a hard life. So not really anything that's, like, you know, groundbreakingly hard to understand. It's like, oh, got to knock off the staff if you want to have a good life. Pretty easy. So we're going to do mailbag here because it's been a while. And we have, let's see, who does spirit want? See, Alice in New York wants a reading. Is any new career opportunity coming in for her? So Alice in New York, so one moment please, Alice. Golden baby, golden, golden, golden. Woohoo, ding, 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 ding. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Okay. unless you don't like chicken, then that's fine too. Let's see. It's actually, let's see, new career opportunity. Hold on a minute here. It's definitely there. I'm just trying to wait. Okay, what's it going to take to get you hooked up to that? So one moment here. It's like you're just going to have to keep your energy up a little bit longer than you expected. It is out there. It's not about, like, sometimes I get readings where people are like, they look like Sonic the Hedgehog. It's like, vroom, 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 and they're like racing all over the place. And that's not actually, you kind of got to have a balance that you need to strike, because on one hand, I'm seeing like not enough energy being put into it. I'm seeing sort of like some exhaustion and that sort of thing. So it's like, okay, well, we got to have more than that. But then it's like, okay, you know, and Alice is one of those people like, yeah, she's going to do it. So boom, 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 boom. And that's great because you got the Sonic the Hedgehog energy going, which is great. Might explain why sometimes you're a little bit tired too, you know, need to take a little bit of a break, might be a little bit exhausted at times, but I mean, hey, we all like Sonic the Hedgehog energy. Energy's good. So it is out there. But it's sort of like, it's just learning like what the balance is for participating healthily in life. And I'm seeing that's a little bit of a challenge for you. It's either like no go at all, and you look like you're going to need to sleep for a week, as the saying goes, and it's, or not sleep for a week, but it's kind of like, I don't know. It might be, I said not that because that's not quite what it was looking like, but I'm getting like, no, that's actually kind of true. So there does have to be like a more balance of your energy, because if you're overdoing it, then of course you're going to crash down. And when people aren't used to that, it can be harder to achieve that balance. You know, like how much do you push? How much do you relax? You know, and if you've got the energy wave, then of course it feels good to ride the energy wave. It feels fun to ride the energy wave. And sometimes if you know that you're not able to in other moments, it can feel like you're supposed to ride the energy wave to its absolute extreme. But of course, if you have issues with exhaustion, and I am being shown that you can have a little bit of an issue sort of like keeping your happiness levels up, which can of course be very draining emotionally, you know, over pushing it just because you can actually will burn you out and will actually weaken your resolve for when you need it. And so this is not about like, you know, under weakening yourself, but when you're tired, you're like, okay, I've just had it. Giving yourself a break and allowing yourself to have the break. And again, this isn't like sometimes people, when they've got trouble with that balance, they quit too soon. And it's like, okay, you know, I put a plate on the counter. Oh, I'm done for the day. and it's not that, like when you're having a high energy day, but it's like, okay, you know, the body starts to hurt a little bit, you know, or things feel a little bit tight. It's like, go, you know, like go have a rest, you know, go take your nap. Napping, surprisingly, is actually recommended in some business books. Some people do a lot better. They're able to fire through the rest of their day if they take an afternoon nap. Siestas are actually very common in other parts of the world. To take that little nap so that you can go and you can finish on with what you're doing. in terms of healing, napping after treatment can actually be very beneficial. Sometimes the brain just needs to quit for a while so that it's got the ability to replenish. This is especially true after, you know, physical treatments. sometimes people will work that way too. You know, maybe they've gone through the ringer emotionally, you know, in a session, going home and like just taking that nap and allowing themselves to breathe, you know, take yourself out of it, by like, you know, sleeping so that your body can just replenish and do everything that it needs can actually be really, really, really beneficial. And that looks like it would be something for you that would be good to be doing. You know, some people have a little problem with that, especially if they've been around other codependent people who, you know, unless you're always doing something all the time, you know, in order to make them feel better, you know, you're lazy or they're, you know, holding it over you because they're out of balance. And so therefore you should be out of balance too. you know, sometimes people feel guilty about that. Some people have been very attacked for, you know, sitting around the house at all when they were children. So all those things, you know, make it sort of guilty to have naps. But in your case, it would actually be very beneficial for you to learn how to listen to your body and ding, 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 ding. That's when the career opportunity shows up. That's when we have the money, honey. So, yeah, it's about getting yourself in that balance. Who would have known? Okay, first time for everything on News for the Soul Radio. Take naps to increase your financial abundance. It will get you a new career path. And, Alice, this is definitely true for you. Listening to your body. will definitely help a lot, because the last thing, you know, if you've got people who are, you know, more go-gettery at work and you're showing up, but, you know, like completely bad exhausted, you know, if you're under the impression you're always supposed to push it, if you've bought into that, then you actually show up at work or for job interviews and you're going to be too tired, it's going to be a turnoff for them, because either you just don't have the energy to do the job in the first place, or you don't know how to take care of yourself. And if you're dealing with higher skill set people, they do things like take naps. I know, weird, right? But that's why they have it in the business books. Why do they have it in the business books? Because both who, you know, have enough are making those million-dollar companies, multi-million-dollar companies. They're making all that cash. They usually know what they're talking about. And that includes you have to have self-care. So while some people will ignore all self-care and they will make it big, that dynamic's actually changed. And now people realize you actually get more done if you self-care for yourself. Number one. Number two, after seeing all those people who pushed, no matter what, they didn't listen to their body, a lot of people have clued into something, which is sometimes those people can be really difficult to deal with. Why does that happen? Well, you got the guy who ignores everything else except for his career. Well, then he doesn't have time for his family and he loses his family. Or because he's so tired, and you see this with men, you see this with women, they overdrain themselves so much, they're fragile. And sometimes this one can be really easy to pick up with some women. They won't take care of themselves, they won't sleep enough, and they look like they're about to have a nervous breakdown every single moment. And I met a couple of people of them, and one I really like, she was the sweetest person I ever want to be. I really want to be clear. She's one of the sweetest people I ever meet. I still love her. She was like this sweet, gorgeous little blonde lady. Love, love, love that lady. And you know what? She looked like she was about to have a nervous breakdown because, like, oh my God, the vacuum cleaner broke. And it's like, you know, and people who are getting enough sleep, they're taking care of themselves, they're not having those reactions. And so even though there's very nice people who have those reactions, and I know because I've met people like that, you also get the people that they're just always short-tempered and they're always biting everybody's head off because they haven't taken self-care and they pride themselves on not doing it. And you get people who are like, I don't sit down for anything. And they're really bitchy and really difficult to deal with. And you see this one with men. You see this one with women. They're really, really difficult, but they're determined not to sit down. So even though like you're nicer than that, when you go into appointments, if you're not taking care of yourself, if you haven't gotten the sleep, because they don't know you, they don't know what kind of person you're going to be. They don't know if you're going to be able to do the job. They don't know if what they see in that moment, which is somebody who's not taking care of herself, they don't know if it's just in that moment, if it's going to be a long-term thing. They don't know if you're just, you know, a little exhausted and having a hard time dealing with things because you're a little exhausted and that does show in you. They don't know if it's going to be that or if this is like your good day and then tomorrow you're going to be like one of the people who are nightmares because they don't take care of themselves. So the fastest way to, and I know sometimes it doesn't always seem kind, but that is the side effect. When people don't take care of themselves, they honestly think it's a good thing not to be doing it, but it's actually the reverse. And healthy people will not be having unhealthy demands on you. And I understand that's not going to have always been the case, but it is the case right now. And it's out there enough that now more people are going, wait, I can be more productive by actually taking care of myself. And it's true. They've proven this scientifically. You can get books where they've got like resource after resource. They've tagged everything. Like found it here, found it there, found it here, this study, that study. And they're saying people are more productive when they actually take care of themselves. Plus they're happier. And people are more productive when they're happy. Why? It's always hard to be productive. And you know this, it's hard to be productive when there's that nightmare that's in the freaking office and they're making everybody's life a living hell. So when people are happy because they take care of themselves, they're going to be easier to deal with. And for you, you have a much better quality of life in you that you are allowing yourself to do, and that taking care of yourself will help other people to understand the goodness that's inside of you, because they're actually going to be able to see the real you because you stop running yourself ragged and you've actually let yourself have the naps. You let yourself have enough rest. You have done the things to make sure that you can sleep properly and all these sorts of things. And those are what let people be able to see the true you, because it's not hidden by or being taken down by exhaustion. And so that is very vitally important for you. And, you know, that career thing, it is out there. I want to be really clear. It looks very beautiful. It looks like it's going to be very good for you. I'd really, really, really suggest you do self-care. So thank you for writing in. We have, let's see, Daniela in Toronto. And she wants to know if I see public events will come back within the year. So they're talking about, like, all over, you know, North America, about putting things, you know, back into play. There's, and I know there's so much information out there. It's like, what do you believe? But they actually have shown that, like, in other countries where things are going, they actually haven't had an increase in like, the pandemic or the so-called pandemic, depending on whatever you believe. So we can do this, but it's not, you know, it's not just as simple as, like, you know, will things start to be getting back online? It's like, well, you know, how much crap are they going to keep pulling? And quite frankly, I mean, seeing in 3 years from now still, that things are not going to be back to the way that they were. So some, you know, public things, you know, like restaurants are starting to open again. They're still looking at having, you know, smaller, they're talking about opening shops and letting, you know, smaller amounts of people come in, you know, those sorts of things. In terms of, like, you know, public events, like, concert halls and stuff like that, I'm seeing, like, you know, there's a possibility. I am seeing a concert hall, really big stadium, and I'm seeing it be, like, very, very, very few people in it. So if that's the kind of public events that you're talking about, I am seeing very few people in it. So whether that makes it worth, you know, worth it to open, you know, a stadium that large, it may not be worth it, depending. So, you know, it kind of is up to the individual, as well as, you know, what businesses are still going to be in play after all this. A lot of people, we've got these local stores here called Army and Navy. They've gone belly up after 101 years in business. They just couldn't keep themselves open. So there, you know, all these sorts of things are going to be affected. So, you know, is everything going to go back to, like, normal within the year? Oh, fuck no. In terms of, like, a concert, you know, it's, there are some possibilities that they will, but a lot of it's going to be a no from what I'm being shown right now. And again, you know, there's free will, you know, how much do people take a stand against all this stuff and say, like, no, actually, this is my life. I deserve to thrive in my life. I'm going to go and I'm going to do the things that cause me to thrive in life, versus, you know, how much are they giving in to people who, you know, are panicking and don't know the facts. So it's really, you know, it's a free will thing. So as it stands right now, yes, there will be some opening, just not completely and absolutely. You know, so if you're hoping to get back to, like, yeah, you know, like, participating in the concerts and all that, that's probably not going to work to the degree that you're wanting it to, just to be clear. So again, you know, like, things can always change. I know sometimes you get those, like, intuitives or psychics are like, this is the way I see it, nothing will ever change. And if you've ever had that experience where somebody tells you you're going to meet somebody and shit, it didn't happen. Yep, where did they go? Well, because you have free will, and so do they. So, you know, the decisions that people make can affect outcomes. So it's not like any sort of given, you know, which is, you know, I think is a good thing. Some people want the security of knowing when things are going to happen, exactly when. But I mean, you know, all they have to do is not show up for the job interview and they don't get the job. It's really that simple. You know, so, you know, and you want the free will, because basically, you know, if you ever get, like, a bad reading or something you don't want to hear, you know, there's a possibility it may change. You may be able to change it better. Usually not worth it to put your, at least in my opinion, you know, you got to do what you got to do. In my personal opinion, if I get a bad reading on something, it's not usually worth it to put my time, effort, and money into. But, you know, sometimes you can still sometimes, you know, like, oh, this isn't going to be the best, but you can get some benefit out of it, which makes it a little confusing. It's not always, you know, cut and dry, even though we want it to be that way. So, yeah, but, you know, you kind of want that flexibility because it means you can improve your situation. So I wish I had better news for you and I could tell you, because you look like a fun, fun lady. So that would be really wonderful to be able to say to you, like, yeah, you can go out and you can do everything, woohoo. But I'm not seeing that happening at the level to which your personality would enjoy, unfortunately. So thanks for writing in. So we have Ellen in Alaska. She wants a reading, tuning into her strange sister to see if her health is okay and if they will ever reconnect. So one moment here, Ellen in Alaska. So your sister is doing fine, Ellen. as for the reconnecting, your sister is stubborn. which I assume you already know. So let's see. So I've got like the back turned, not budging. So let's see. You make contact. It's like, oh, look, she looks like she's coming back. And side effect, though, she's crying. Let's see now. You know, okay, try to make amends. And she's crying, and then she's lashing out. Oh, so basically, you know, reconnection is like, do the other people want to reconnect? Are they willing to participate in reconnection? And so far, I'm getting no on the participation. you know, so if you show up on her doorstep with flowers, I am saying, okay, well, then she lets you in the house. That's the best case scenario I'm seeing so far. The chasing is not really doing a whole lot of good. You know, it's sort of like, nope, not participating. You show up on her door with flowers, and I understand that's not necessarily going to be feasible at this time, but I am seeing, like, you know, that would do something for her. That would really help her heart. and so if you do that, you know, show up with flowers, it's not like after the flowers are done, you know, she's going to be super happy. I am seeing sort of like some crappiness there. And again, you know, when you get people who don't want to participate, free will comes. So there's not ever, you know, when you get people who are sort of like flippy floppy, they change direction very easily just because they want to. You know, there has to be a certain amount of reasonability to make things work. And your sister is very, like, you know, just changing direction just because she wants to, you know, holding on to old pain and stuff like that. So, you know, you do have to be careful with anybody who's got that sort of, like, way of acting. You are going to have to be more careful because, you know, non-participation is non-participation. So showing up at her door with the flowers, that's good. She would looks currently... She would let, okay, so as it stands with this reading, whenever it happens, she would let you in the door and she'd be happy that you showed up with flowers, but she'd still have a hard time not letting go of the hurt. Telling her how much you're sorry, telling her how much you miss her, telling her how much it would hurt you, it hurts you to not be a part of her life, or to not, don't say that one, definitely don't say that one. For some people, that's like, oh, yes, I could keep you out of my life. I'm going to go with that. So, yeah, stay away from that one. She would definitely react negatively to that. But how much you miss having her a part of your life, you know, and you love her. And then, then we see the reunion happening. So then I see your sister jumping in your arms, and there's a nice big hug, and that is really beautiful. So, and again, you know, so there is, you know, like the possibility in your sister doing that, you know, and your sister coming back and being happy and all those sorts of lovely things with you. I will warn you, this is a tricky situation. So unless you get like that hit, unless you get that intuitive hit, that psychic hit, to do something different, I would really suggest you do it exactly the way that I said it. And again, there's no guarantee that it's going to work because that is the issue when people are flippy like that. But there is a possibility, which is good. It's not like, you know, a complete and absolute, you know, difficult new way. you know, it's not like completely and absolutely like no way whatsoever in all forms. So, you know, it is, you know, because it is your sister, you know, it is worth it for a lot of people to put that in for family. So yeah, like, you know, it's signs are like, you know, a cautious go, but definitely the go is in there that it is something that you can have happen. So we have Richard, and thank you for ringing. So we have Richard in the UK, and he'd like a reading about his online relationship. Is it going to last, and are they the one? And oh, you got a little cutie, Richard. Richard's doing good. So let's see. Okay. Let's see. Okay, so the bright side about this is you have got a woman who is out of your league. and that doesn't happen all the time, but you've definitely got one here. So good points about this is you can actually put in a lot of the good stuff that you've never been able to put in with anybody else. And if somebody's going to be capable of reacting, this doesn't mean everybody's perfect. You do have somebody who it would be beneficial to put that sort of thing in with her. I want to be really clear about this, though. If anybody is going to blow this relationship, it will be you, buddy. And I want to be really clear about this. I would really suggest, you know, sometimes, you know, people are like, they have problems in relationship. They try to drag the other person in for relationship counseling when they're the ones that really have to do the work. And for you, buddy, you're really the one that needs to do the work. You got a lot of stuff that's really going to interfere in your capability of having a healthy relationship. And I would really suggest that you don't let this one go. She is marriage material for you. I do see you two being capable of getting to the altar. But I will warn you right now with the way, with your current skill set, and they're being very, very clear about this, she's not going to be happy. She's not going to be happy because you really need to work on your skill set. And again, you know, sometimes when people are in that, they're like trying to figure out a way to make it somebody else's fault. And, you know, and I see you're an open guy, which is good. I see you're actually considering this, which is excellent, because this is a relationship you are going to want to keep. Really, 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 you are going to want to make it work with this person. For, you know, when we're talking about levels, we talk about like how much of a higher level one person is for another. I'm not going to give you the numbers, but what I will say is it's very, very, very rare for somebody to have found somebody who wants to be in a relationship with them that is doing that many levels better. So you have really got this grand opportunity to really make something work better than probably you ever have in your life. So I would really suggest hitting the therapy. You know, coaching can be beneficial as well, but in this instance, from what I'm seeing with you within the body, there's a lot of things, whether people have been through you know, physical trauma, mental trauma. You know, they talk about like the trauma on little boys, like babies, for having actually had circumcision. And it sounds a little strange, like what? Seriously, circumcision can cause like, you know, lifelong problems in terms of how you're interacting with relationships. Well, what they've actually shown is it was a college or university, or it's like the College of University of London or England. I'm sorry, I forget the name. But they actually showed that people who have medical issues, medical traumas as children, like, you know, breaking a leg, even doesn't have to be like this big, bad, horrible thing, can actually end up like 30% or something like that, can actually end up with PTSD. And it seems kind of funny that these things that you think are benign can have such like huge side effects. But the nervous system, when the nervous system starts to get out or like, you know, be a little bit more jacked, people will get, they'll get more lashy out. They'll be more feeling like they're going to take their stuff out on people a little bit more. And, you know, and I want to be really clear, these are natural does not always mean healthy, unfortunately. But, you know, having the nervous system geared up can be a natural side effect of trauma. It's just a natural part of it. hopefully, though, what happens is you release it and things go back to normal. You release the trauma, things go back to normal. But when it doesn't, there's different reasons why that can happen. It can affect the rest of your life. So somatic therapy, you know, it's kind of like if you think of when things happen because of trauma in the past. If you think of it like a broken leg, obviously life's going to be a lot easier to live if you fix a broken leg. Now, that's not accurate because, you know, your brain's not broken. your nervous system isn't broken, but there can be things that people can do to make things work a little bit better. And sweetie heart, as best as I could say to you, really, 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 this one's the one. This one's the potential. Go get the help to make sure that she stays the one. Really, 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 sweetie. And it's all on you. So you can do anything you want with this, and I really hope you get the help you need, because this is your once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, buddy. So congratulations, and I would do whatever you can take to hold on to this one. So we're coming up to the top of the hour here. So we're going to look at the last one. Pam in California, she wants to know if the heavy energy she's feeling is hers or coming from somewhere else. So Pam in California, one moment, please. Oh, you're just getting inundated with it, honey. And right now, I mean, you walk into, I'm not going to name the store, but like some of the, you know, cheaper stores that, you know, you get everything at. You get your food, you get your bicycles, etc. I walked into one the other day, and oh my God, it was practically, energetically, it was like fucking suicidal in there. It was horrendous. So everybody's always got to be careful anyways, energetically, but this is a time period where you really, really, really have to be careful, you know, about what stores you're going into, about who you're talking to, about who you're being open to, because I mean, oh my God, it's just redonkulous. And it's not consistent, which is kind of weird because, you know, it's like I go to Costco, you know, I'm standing in line at Costco and a lot of people are in a great mood. It's like wonderful, you know, and then you go to like some of these other stores and it's like, oh. So you really have to feel into it. You know, in terms of you, you've got really good, you've got like good growth. You've got, you know, a good ability to sort of like rise above things, provided that you're not taking on and adapting to like taking on other people's negative energy. You know, this is one of the things you can do sometimes, you know, when you're sensitive, and you are, what can happen is you can easily take on other people's stuff because you think you're supposed to. And, you know, when you get like people who are supposed to be healers, that sort of thing, and they think they're supposed to take on the energy, they'll tank themselves, you know, more because they're not, because they're actually being tanked, not because they have to be tanked, but because they have the idea that they should allow themselves to be tanked, and you get the sort of like healer's guilt, right? Like, oh my God, I should feel bad, I should feel guilty, but so you don't. And you want that part of you that doesn't feel bad about that. And the reason you want that is because you need to teach that to other people, because holding on to it doesn't help anybody. In fact, you see this if you're sensitive and you're a healer or you have that healing energy, you see this where people tank themselves and they create more problems for themselves, not because they actually have the problem, but because they think they should have the problem. And then they go and tank themselves and make all these bad decisions. So, sweetie, you have the capability to get rid of it and to stay out of it. And if you want to help people heal, teach other people to stay away from going into it. So thank you so much for everybody. We're at the top of the hour now. My name is Elho Shatar. You can find me at newsforthesoul.com. My archive's in there. You can also go to www.enlightenmentinthecity.com. I'm an intuitive reader. I'm a coach. I do coaching. I know I talk a lot about codependency and stuff like that. I do deal with codependency issues. I do not deal with people who need therapy. It is a very different modality. I know sometimes people get the two mixed up. Some people are like, I'm not going to a therapist. But a therapist really, you know, for people who need therapy, if you need therapy, I'm a coach. I don't do therapy. And this is really important. It's two different modalities. And again, we're back to the broken leg thing. You know, therapy really, and this is somatic therapy. I'm not recommending all therapy across the board. I'm not in agreement with a lot of therapeutic practices all the time, but somatic therapy is different. That's what that somatic therapy basically is, like getting the broken leg fixed so that everything else can function a lot better after that. So you want to run the marathon, you get the broken leg fixed. For people who do not feel like they're broken, they're not suicidal, you're emotionally stable, then I do coaching.